be honest, my mind's a little blown right now. I didn't tell y'all, correct? I did not tell you what to sing, did I? Amen. I just said, Riley, sing what's on your heart, what God put in there. And you didn't know what I was preaching, correct? It's mind-blowing. Our God is an amazing God. Our God is an amazing God. Deuteronomy chapter 28. It'll make sense to you in a minute. Amen. Just hang with me. Let's stand together. Appreciate all the testimonies and the bragging on the Lord and His goodness and blessings in our life. And I want to try to take a swing at it myself as we preach today. And we'll try to give you what the Lord's laid on our heart for this service. Just kind of taking a little break out of Mark for a little while. And trying to keep things, amen, where you don't know what's happening around here. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down several verses. The Bible said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Woo, hallelujah. "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail." I love that. Amen. I'm glad God's people, we're the head, we ain't the tail. This world thinks they're the head and we're the tail, but I got news for you. Amen. We're the head and not the tail. Woo, hallelujah. I know where I'm going. I'm about to run. Let y'all just figure it out on your own. Amen. "The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." I want to preach to us this morning, if the Lord will help us for a little while. I thought it'd be really just a little while, but I feel it bubbling up this morning. I want to preach on this thought, Brother Carl, on possessing God's blessing. Possessing God's blessing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we need your help. Lord, I pray you'd send it in great mercy and great grace and in your mighty goodness. May the Lord Jesus be magnified. And Lord, I pray more than that he would be manifested in this place today. And for all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord this year seems to be speaking much to my heart personally from the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm thankful for it. We preached several messages this year, probably more this year out of Deuteronomy than we have at any other year of our ministry. And what a book the book of Deuteronomy is. We understand that Deuteronomy, it is the Lord through Moses preparing the children of Israel to enter into Canaan's land. They had forgone that 40 years earlier in the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea when the Lord intended to bring them over and bring them into the land of blessing. But they rose up against the Lord, believing the giants were too great and the walled cities were too strong and that they themselves were too weak and insignificant. And they overlooked the God factor, if you will, that though there may have been giants in the land and greater numbers of people and all sorts of things against them, if God was for them, then no one and nothing could be against them. And they forwent, if you will, forgone the blessings of God from their life and have spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. For 40 years, it's been death. For 40 years, it's been trials one after another. For 40 years, they wandered around. And with the measure of the blessings of God and the provisions of the Lord upon their life and a time of miracles, yet that was never the will of God for their life, that they abide in the wilderness. When we come to this section of Deuteronomy, this is now Moses' second admonition to the children of Israel. He has gathered them there in the plain of Moab. And in the plain of Moab, he assembles the elders and all the people. And in this second address, there is a particular emphasis that is laid upon what life is going to be in the land of Canaan. And he tells him, I'm going to set before you two ways. I'm going to bring you over into Canaan. This generation has been in the wilderness 40 years. I am going to bring them into the land of Canaan. But I am now, even in this day and in days to come, going to set before you two different ways. And those ways are known as the way of blessing and the way of cursing. And there in the plains of Moab, Moses begins, if you were to back up in chapter number 27, he tells them, now when you get over there into the land of Canaan, I'm going to have you led by Joshua to this place that is in a valley between two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And when you get into that land, and he divides the people in sections, certain of them will stand on Mount Gebal, or Mount Gerizim rather, and the other on Mount Ebal. And those on Mount Gerizim are going to pronounce blessing. And those that are on Mount Ebal, they are going to be the mount to curse. And they're going to speak the blessings and the cursings when they arrive into the land of Canaan. And the particular emphasis that Moses lays in through the remainder of chapter 27 is that when they get there, here are the cursings that are going to be pronounced from Mount Ebal. And the people are going to say amen to the curses that God says are going to be upon them. 12 of them there are in total. And each of those 12 in one form or another are tied in to the giving of what we would call the Ten Commandments. They would be violations, and for those violations, God pronounces a curse that is going to be upon them, and he wants them, when they get into the land of Canaan, to be reminded of those curses that can fall upon the people of God. But when we come back into chapter number 28,
Moses now brings them into the present time. This has to do with what is going to come, but he wants them particularly focused now, before they even enter into Canaan, upon the blessing and the cursing. Deuteronomy chapter number 28 is one of the longest chapters yet. In our Bible, in God's Word. It's a very lengthy chapter that very directly, very meticulously, very detailed covers the blessings and the cursings. And there is a small measure that is given in verses we read that have blessed us even in the reading of that, of the blessings that God is going to give. When you began to pick up in verse 15 through the end of the chapter, and I'm not preaching that, that's the long part. This is the short part, so you get the short message this morning. But in verses 15 through 68, you'll find that there is the curses and the warnings and the chastening hand and judgment of God that could befall the people of God if they go astray. And all of that is laid out in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. But I'm interested this morning in this matter of blessing. And wouldn't you want to be blessed of the Lord today? Wouldn't you want to know what it is to live your life blessed, or the old English way of saying the word that is emphasized in the text over and over by the Lord Himself, blessed? Wouldn't you like to be blessed and blessed and living in the blessing of God? And so Moses begins in the plains of Moab as he's going to stir their heart on this day to serve the Lord. He begins with the blessing. The word blessed means made happy or prosperous. It means to be extolled, elated, that there is an emotion, if you will, but more than emotion, of excitement that is just running over, that there is joy, that there is rejoicing, that there is a spirit of satisfaction and contentment. It's all wrapped up in this word that Moses uses again and again. For the procured blessings of God in our life, blessed. The word blessed means to be enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity, to enjoy God's love and God's goodness that has been bestowed upon our life. I understand that the goodness of God is tapped into the fact that the Bible said God is good. But this morning to be blessed is more than just to make that a declaration that God is good. He is good. And thank God He is good. But to be blessed is to not just know it theologically. It's not just to make a mental assent to the fact that God is good. But that goodness has touched your life in such a personal way that you count yourself blessed, that you count yourself to be full of joy, that you count your life satisfied with what God has given to you and what God has been to you, and that God belongs to you, that you belong to God. And that's why they could sing a moment ago when we can raise our hand and tears of joy and leak out of our eyes, and our heart began to bubble up this morning over the song, "I am blessed," because, Brother Martin, we're preaching to some today and know what it is to possess the blessings of God, that we don't just live for the things that are in the world, and we don't live for the joys that we can find in carnal entertainment, that our satisfaction as the people of God is founded in God's blessings on our life. Amen. Amen. And so this morning to be blessed is to be possessing God's blessing. Amen. And that's what God is dealing with His people about here in the plains of Moab. I want to say they're not in Canaan, and yet God is talking to them about blessing. And I want to say this morning, when God, and we learned this later on in Israel's history, that when Balaam would, when Balaam would be enticed to curse Israel by Barak, that he went to go curse the people of God, and a blessing came out of his mouth. That God said that at what God is blessed, it cannot be cursed. And what God is cursed cannot be blessed. That reminds us, Brother Riley, the blessings of God cannot be manipulated in our life. That my friend, when we think about possessing God's blessing, we understand this morning we're talking about God's divine favor. We're talking about God in grace and God in mercy being so real and manifested in our life that there is an enjoyment and is caught up in that that my friend is found in nowhere else but God. Amen. Possessing God's blessing. Well, when I come to this text, several things I want to draw your attention to. And then I'll make our way to what we want to get our, because this text deals with it, we'll have to get to our responsibilities about possessing God's blessing. But just consider with me this morning some things that are emphasized here about God's blessing. Would you like to know about God's blessing in your life? Notice with me in this text, I derived from what we read this morning that that it is God's pleasure to bless us. God is pleased when He blesses our life. It brings delight to Him. There is nothing greater than God would desire to do for you and for me today than to bless our life. God is pleased to bless you in that. Our God, He's not some distant God, some stingy God. He's not a God that just gets all these joys and delights and making life hard on us. He delights, my friend, He delights in blessing you and I. When you read this, the spirit behind Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14, it seems to me that the Lord is communicating to them, I am excited about blessing and bestowing my blessings on your life. And I tell you today, we have a God that wants to bless you and I. He wants to do that. He desires, He wants to bless you. And you say, well, preacher, I thought that God was a holy God and God was a God full of wrath and God was a God that is angry with the wicked every day. And every bit of that is true. The Bible deals with every bit of that. And yet there is another side in God's goodness and love and kindness and compassion toward mankind and particularly God's people that God is saying to them, it is my pleasure to be able to bless your life. Amen. Amen. It's God's pleasure to bless us. Let me say this morning, and I need you to get a hold of this out of the text, and it is God's preference to bless us. Now in the text of Deuteronomy and Evet, beginning in chapter 26, clear through chapter number 30, there are blessings and there are cursings. There is goodness and there is judgment. There is grace and there is wrath. And both sides are dealt with. But when we come to Deuteronomy 28, Sam, what we find is that God deals with the blessing before He deals with the cursing. Now, you think about maybe a lot of things we could derive out of that, including our previous point that God is pleased to bless us. And we see that in that He deals with blessing before He deals with cursing. But let me say this morning, it is God's preference to bless you and not curse you. What He's telling them in the order of how this is laid out And now there's many, many more verses that are given to curses and warnings of the wrath of God. If you don't do your part, or you step out of line, or you get away from God to whatever degree, that there is a line out there where the chastening of God will fall upon your life. But by reminding them first of the blessing, God has said, I don't want to curse you. I don't want to whoop the daylights out of you. I don't want to make life hard on you. I don't want you to have to fall to defeat to your enemy's eye. I don't want you to have a long, hard journey through life. I don't want you broke and poor. I don't want to have to work against you. It is my preference to bless you. Tell you something about God today. He wants you blessed. I'm not talking about in the ways. And listen, you can be blessed and be fighting 50 acres of hell this morning. You can still be blessed and have cancer in your body. You can be blessed this morning and still have things set against you and your family and your job and the path that you're trying to go on today. Blessing and being blessed and possessing God's blessing, it has nothing necessarily to do with the mortal body or the physical body or the carnal man today. It has to do with those spiritual blessings and satisfaction and joy that we find in God Himself today, no matter what we're going through. So when I say that God, it is God's preference to bless us, I'm not telling you that God prefers to never let you suffer. That's not the point of it today. And that's a false doctrine that has been told in a lot of circles that God is just always going to give you more and more and more and more and more and more. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes God lifts the heads and lets the devil touch your life and take things from you. But even in that, what did Job say? He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His blessing was not in his camels and his oxen and his asses, and it wasn't in his servants, and it wasn't in his possessions, and it wasn't even in his family. His blessings were in his relationship to God. This morning, understand that God's preference is to bless us. Amen. He'd far rather bless you than curse you. We say this morning in this text, we learn it is God's promise to bless us. As we read this morning over and over, we read, "The Lord shall, the Lord shall, the Lord shall, the Lord shall." And it brings us back to the fact that our God is making promises. Our God is putting His name on the line. And He's making promises about the blessings He wants to bestow and the blessings we can find and procure in our life. That we don't have to live our life void of those blessings. And the reason we can be confident about living in happiness and living and enjoying the favor of God upon our life, it's not because we're all that great, that God in His grace and God in His person and His holiness has promised to bless us. Amen. I'm thankful today that we have a God, amen, that has made some promises. And when you understand this, and it is impossible for God to lie, that God is an immutable God. And what God says, it comes to pass. Amen. You cannot stop it. That God has promised to bless His children. And understand there's certain parameters we'll look at here in just a moment. But don't lose sight of the fact that we don't earn the blessings of God. We don't merit the blessings of God. If you obtain the blessings of God, even on your best day, amen, you are, Miss Kate said it this morning, I still feel like the worst of sinners. Right, right. On your best day, you'll have to say with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. On your worst day, you'll still have to say, and I'm the least of all the saints. Amen. On your best day, trying to live for God, you'll never be able to beat your chest and say, I have earned the blessings of God. The blessings of God come upon us because God promised to bless us. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Well, what has he promised? How has he promised to bless us? Can I give you this? Amen. We read it to you this morning. Number one, he said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be blessed in your welfare. He said in verse number 3 again, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. He said again in verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And so he is promising you an act that we will be blessed in our welfare. What he is saying is you'll have what you need. I'm going to make sure in the land of Canaan that when you get there, I'm going to take care of you. When needs arise, I'll be Jehovah your provider. Amen. I'll be the one that is there. I'll be the one that is putting food on your table. I'll be the one that's meeting the needs and the money that is needed to pay your bills. I'm going to be the one that cares for you and blesses you and looks after your welfare through life. Amen. Amen. We have this system in America that is rotten called the welfare system. I'm not against, amen, giving people who have legitimate needs and taking care of them. But the system we have in place in America, I'm afraid by and large, not all now, not all, but by and large is taking care of all the wrong people. Amen. Hey, some folk just lazy and go making excuses and making up stories for years about how they can't work. And then you got a man like Van Hill busting his neck, can't hardly make it, and still going on trying to provide and be a real man and work. And y'all understand what I'm saying. What I was trying to say, in case you didn't get it, we got a rotten system of welfare in America. Amen. Amen. If you can work, you ought to work. That's a whole nother message. Let me say this morning. God's system of welfare is amazing. It ain't rot gut. It's not with respected persons. He don't care this morning about what your status is in society. He doesn't care about your racial standing. He doesn't care this morning about if you're from the north or you're from the south. He doesn't care this morning. We could go on and on about all the ways that men look after other men today, after their good and after their welfare. And our God said, I'm telling you, I'll bless you. I'll bless you if you're in the city. I'll bless you if you're live in the field. I'll bless you. I'll bless you in the fruit of your body. That is, you want children, I can give you children. I'm going to bless you in the fruit of thy ground. Amen. You may not even have a green thumb. Your thumb may be black as death itself. God can give people with a black thumb and bless them and let their crops grow anyway. Amen. He said, I'll bless your cattle. You need some more beef in the field. He said, I'll give you all the beef you can handle. Amen. Are y'all listening today? I'm telling you, our God is feeding us. Our God is caring for us. Our God is looking after our welfare. And when you've done all you can do, thank God, he said, I'm going to make sure that my blessings are upon your life. You say, preacher, I've got a need. That's what he said. He was going to take care of when he said that you'd be blessed in your basket and in your store. Amen. He said, I'll fill you up. I'll give you all you need. You ain't going to go hungry. You ain't going to go without a roof over your head. You ain't going to go without the needs in life demands and is placed upon you that you can be possessing God's blessing in your wealth. Number two, we're blessed in our wayfare. He said, I love this. I love our King James Bible. I mean, it reads just, Brother Mike would say it reads perfect because he's right about that. And I would add to that, it just reads so precious. It's just so precious the way the King James Bible reads. Notice what he said again in verse number, I got to hurry, I'm going to preach all day. He said, blessed in verse 6 shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Since he is saying, I don't care where life takes you. I don't care what wayfare, sojourning trip that you've got to make. If you got to be a pilgrim or you find yourself stable in some situation, and whether you're coming or going, and how many days do we say, I don't even know if I am coming or going. I don't know which it is. God said, mark her down. You may not know whether you're coming in or going out. Either, my friend, you are weary in your pilgrimage, mark it down. I'm going to bless you. And that's what he proved to them in the wilderness land, that he would bless them in their wayfare. I'm glad, thank God, in this journey called the Christian life. And the Bible said we're pilgrims and we're strangers and we're passing through. We're not here to stay. We're in a worldly wayfare this morning. And I'm waiting on our arrival into that city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But I'm telling you, between here and there, as we're coming and going in and out, I'm glad in our wayfare God is blessing us. Amen. You're blessed in your wayfare. You're blessed in your warfare. Boy, I'm having a time this morning. He said in verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee. He said here, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. He said, Brother Gerald, I'm going to bless you in your warfare. We're in a battle this morning. You might as well mark it down. And when the day you got saved, amen, is the day you enlisted in the army of Almighty God. Paul said, hey man, to young Timothy, you better learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier. Why? Because we're in a battle today. And that battle's real, and that battle gets weary, and that battle gets hot, and that battle sometimes makes us feel like our brains is getting beat out of our head. Hey man, but I'm glad through every battle I've ever been in. I'm glad through every warfare I've had to endure. And thank God, Brother Jake, I've had a God in glory that's been blessing me with victory. The enemy may come against me one way, and I've lived through enough battles to tell you that when God moves in our warfare, he divides the enemy seven different ways. Glory to God. Amen. Our God, number seven, speaks of completion. Amen. You know what God is saying? I will bless you with complete victory. I'm going to bless you in your warfare. You're going to quit dragging your tracks out. Amen. You're going to quit crawling your way through the battlefield. You'll skip up at the battle. I'm going to bless you with complete victory. Amen. I'm glad I'm blessed in warfare today. If it not been for the blessings of God, you talking about, amen, outside the blessing, you're in the curse. And God comes back to this. He said, if, amen, you get away from me, I ain't got time to deal with that. That's for in a moment. And he said, when the enemy comes against you, if you're not living and possessing God's blessing, he said, the enemy will come against you one way, and you'll be run off seven different ways. We got people sitting in churches today, their life's all over the place. their lives run here and run there. And I'm telling you today, oh, to God, He would send a revival to our church and a revival to our families and a revival to our young people and would quit being so divided and get on fire for God and fight a good fight and watch God bless us in warfare. Amen, amen. Thank God, Brother Mark, but Charlie, I'm glad our God can bless us even on the battlefield. He'll bless you in your work fair. Amen. Somebody said, well, I didn't know. I didn't know I was still going to have to work if I possess the blessings of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you're still going to have to work. Amen. And by the way, work was not the curse in the garden. Man was working long before he fell in sin. Amen. Work ain't a curse. Work's a blessing. Especially when God blesses you in your work fair. Notice what he said in verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in a season, and watch it now, and to bless all the work of thine hand. All the work of thine hand. You know what he's saying? I'm going to bless you in your work faith. So in the morning, some of y'all are going to get up. And you're going to wipe the boogers out your eyes and read your Bible and spend some time with God. You're going to drink you a cup of Joe. Amen. You're going to load up in your car and you're going to head to work. Amen. And you're going to get on a workplace that maybe is hard to work in. Maybe it's an environment that comes with a lot of obstacles. But the fact that you get to go to work, that in itself is a blessing from the Lord. And here's what the Lord said. You just stay faithful to work. You just keep showing up. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And along the way, ain't it amazing? When nobody else is getting a promotion, you get a promotion. Ain't it amazing when nobody else is getting a raise and they said they's putting a freeze on it, and somewhere somebody in HR says, you know what, we ain't give that old boy a raise in a long time. We're way behind. We need to take care of that. And all of that, God is saying, I'll bless you in your work fair. Amen. Work and sweat and give it all you got. When the sun sets tomorrow, you look back and say, Lord, I want to thank you for blessing me in my work fair one more day. That sends some of y'all home with a little less complaining. At least you got a job. So I don't like the one I got. Well, go get a new one. Amen. And let God bless you where you are. Let God bless your work fair. Anybody want to possess these blessings of God? Amen. Anybody here today tired of just drudging your way through your spiritual life? Is there anybody here this morning that would say, oh, that's what my soul is longing for? I'll show you this morning real quick three things in the text and we're done. Possessing God's blessing involves some things from us. It's God's pleasure to bless us. It's God's preference to bless us. It's God's promise to bless us. But in this text, as God is saying, I want to bless you. I'm going to bless you. There are some defined responsibilities that we've got to get a hold of. Do you want those? So I didn't know I was going to have to do anything. That's this generation's problem. We got a lot of people talking about they got the blessings. They ain't got the blessings of God. Oh, they got a lot of things. Amen. I've said it this way in the past. Jesus talked about there being given things to you and I. From God the Father. Not everybody that has a lot of things has been given those things. You can grab a lot of things. And never count yourself blessed. Never enjoy one thing that you've grabbed.
But if you'll live your life in such a way that God is giving you His blessing, oh, buddy, I'm telling you, you'll cherish it. Number one, let me say this, there must be a departure. If we're going to possess God's blessing, there must be a departure. Preacher, what do you mean? This whole setting revolves around the instructions in the previous chapter of when they're going to leave the wilderness land, cross over the Jordan, and finally enter into Canaan's land. These blessings are not for the wilderness dwelling. They're not for those that just circle and run laps around the wilderness. These blessings involve a departure from a spiritual dryness, a spiritual place that represents living on the outskirts and the borders and the will of God for your life. And these blessings are only entered into as we depart and leave all of that and sell out to go all the way for God. So he says throughout the verses we've read this morning, when thou comest into the land. He's talking about a land. He's talking about a place. He's talking about somewhere different than Moab. He's talking about somewhere different than the wilderness. But Charlie, he is telling them, I'm going to bless you. It's my desire to bless you, my pleasure, my preference, my promise, and I will bless you. But if you're going to possess my blessing, you got to leave where you are. Get over some obstacles that's holding you back and get where the will of God is for your life. Now I watch people sell out all the time the blessings of God. They sell out, my friend, the possessing of God's goodness and greatness. To be satisfied with the meager miracles of the wilderness. I understand there's some amazing things happening in the wilderness. I mean, God fed them every day. There was manna and bread on the ground. And God let them gather that and eat that. He'd give them quail for meat, water out of a rock. He made sure their sandals never wore out, their clothes never deteriorated. They didn't grow out of nothing, friend. That God was good to them in the wilderness is an absolute truth. Are you listening? Hey, amen. What they got in the wilderness was nothing like the blessings God is describing they're going to have in Canaan. And so you can just be casual and carnal and complacent about your spirituality, and you'll live in a wilderness, and you'll still get some things from God along the way, but you won't get God's very best. Amen. God's best for you will be found when you leave the wilderness life to enter into your spiritual Canaan and live your life in the will of God. Oh, I feel like I need to preach here. All of this is predicated on a departure. When are you going to get serious about possessing God's blessing? When are you going to say, you know what, the wilderness, it's been an experience, all right. God's been pretty good to me here. But if he's got more for me somewhere else, that's where I want to be. Don't ever settle for the wilderness life. Don't ever settle for meager miracles. Don't ever, my friend, just settle for the mundane. Hey, man, there may have been some bread to eat and quail to eat and water to drink. There may have been some amazing things even that happened in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, there's still battles, there's death, there's rebellion, there's pride. There's all sorts of things that just beset them and grieve them and hold them back. And the only people that are going to be possessing God's blessing are those that say, enough's enough, I want everything God has for me. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want God to bless you coming in and going out? I've watched men sell out the possessing of God's blessing for some job that was a wilderness job.
They take a job because it's going to be a promotion or a bump in pay. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's in the will of God. But if that ain't the will of God, you'd be better off flipping burgers somewhere. You'd be better off, my friend, doing something that just didn't get you all that excited. If you could be in the will of God and my friend, do something that was meager, something that was maybe looked down upon or not held in high regard and esteem, you'd be better to do that and know what it is to possess God's blessing. Amen. Than to take something that leaves you in the wilderness. Amen. Watch young people do it with where they go to school, who they're going to marry, how they're going to live their life, where they're going to go to church. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. That they just are satisfied with a wilderness experience. It's a good day in my life when I took my little stick in Brevard, North Carolina, and threw it in the fire and said, Lord, my life is yours. I want to sell out. I want everything you have for me. And it ain't always been easy. But Brother Larry, it's always been blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How we doing? There must be a departure. Number two, there must be a devotion. Here's what the Lord says in beginning this, it shall come to pass. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that thou at the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Here's what he said, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Oh, I need another hour to preach verse number two. And overtake thee.
Amen.
Have you ever been overtaken with the blessings of God? You ever got overwhelmed with it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's what I know. If you have, in that moment of time, there was such devotion in your heart to God and His Word.
Amen.
That you couldn't help but be satisfied with who God was to you. For he said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now that supposes you're really saved and you hear his voice. Let me say right here, you're never going to possess the blessing of God until you have first been saved and have heard and know the voice of God. Amen. You've got to know what it is. I'm not talking about spooky dooky booger man stuff. I'm talking about in your heart, God whispering, God speaking, God moving, God directing and leading and guiding. And you saying, I am devoted to hear and do what God's voice says. It's a devotion that must be displayed in our life. You want to possess the blessings of God, the Canaan life, the Spirit-filled life, that place where God just says over and over, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour it out upon you. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to go upward and not downward, and you're going to be lifted above every nation. I'm going to bless you when you're coming in and you're going out. I'm going to bless you in the city and in the field. God said, you want me to be faithful to bless your life? Show me some devotion. He said, so long as you give devotion to my word and to my place in your life. He said, now don't you dare go out there and get you another God. Amen. Don't you allow anyone or anything else to have my place. If you'll show some devotion to God, he said, I'm going to bless you. Must be a departure, a devotion. I need another hour to preach right here. I won't do it, but there must be a. I'm gonna say it this way. There must be a deference, not necessarily a difference, but a deference. You got to defer some things. Here's what God said in verse number 9. He said, in blessing you, I'm not going to bless you so you feel goosebumps and warm and fuzzy all over. Here's what he said. He said, I'm going to bless you so you can be a holy people.
Amen.
See, this generation, they want the goosies and the fuzz and the oh. God is not interested in your little oh. God is interested in you being a holy people. And in this day and hour we're living in, listen, that takes deference. That takes you saying, I won't live like they live out there. I won't think the way they think out there. I won't go the places that they call me to go to. Amen. You can't be holy until you defer from evil. Is that right, Brother Mike? I think I said that right. You can't ever be holy until you defer from evil in your life. You can't be holy until you defer what your flesh wants. You got to deny your flesh. You got to turn from your flesh. You got to turn from some of your dreams and your goals to say, I want to possess God's blessing. That involves me becoming holy. So there must be a deference in my life where I turn away from some things. So through God's blessing, I can come out the other side holy. David forgot that. Y'all come sing that again for invitation. David forgot that. David, a man after God's own heart, did some very, very despicable things the day he should have been on the battlefield and the day he should have been in another place other than on the rooftop. And he looked down and saw Bathsheba bathing herself, and rather than deference and turning away, what did he do? He lingered and he looked. He allowed his flesh to be stirred where nobody could stop him from having what he wanted to have. Nobody could talk. He asked, who is this woman? They said, oh, that is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. You study all that out, she really is the granddaughter to David's very best friend, Ahithophel. That blows my mind, Betty. That blows my mind. A man after God's own heart. He went and committed that sin of immorality, and then in an attempt to cover it up, had her own husband slain on the battlefield. It was murder coming and going. You fast forward after some time, David's been living in this sin. Grief, stoved up, no joy, no blessed feeling. Nathan the prophet comes and gives him the parable, points his finger and says, David, you're the man. The message didn't stop there, Brother Mark. Nathan said, David, here's what God wants you to know. He said, the Lord said, ain't I been good to you? Didn't I give you houses? I gave you a throne and a crown and a kingdom. David, I gave you wives and I gave you victories in battles. And David, if all of that were not enough, all you had to do was ask me for more. You know what David forgot? David forgot the blessings of God are supposed to keep us as holy people. When you go taking for granted the blessings of the Lord, you're in very, very serious danger of leaving the blessings of God. And you don't want to be in verse 15 through 68 of Deuteronomy 28. Because everything God promised that y'all shouted on even as I read it, it all gets flipped around on its head.
And now God said, I ain't for you, I'm against you.
Amen.
Now you're not going to have the blessings. You're going to have all the judgment that comes from your rebellion to have your own way.
Amen.
I want to be possessing God's blessing. Amen. Now, if you're saved, there's a sense. You can begin to play, Brother Riley. If you're saved, there's a sense. According to Ephesians 1, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. If you're a child of God in Jesus Christ today, you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. If you can lift your hand, and I'm not asking you to, but if we were, and you could lift your hand and say, I am saved, I can tell you right now what they're singing about is absolutely true in your life. You can say, I am blessed. That's positional. This morning we're in a very practical, personal way of living. Are you enjoying personally what you are positionally? If not, you can be. You can leave here today possessing God's blessing. Amen. We're going to stand. I want them to sing this morning. The altar's open. I've been praying while I've been preaching. I've been praying, God, let every young person get on this altar today and say, I want God's very best for my life. I've been praying as I've been preaching, God, would you let every husband and head of every home get on this altar and plead with God for God's blessing on their home. Been praying every wife and every mother would be moved in their heart to say, I want to be possessing God's blessing. Every grandmother, every whether you're married or single, whether you, amen, however your life is, I promise you today, every one of us need the blessings of God. We need the blessings of God. We cannot live outside of the blessing of God, because outside of the blessing is cursing.
Amen.
I feel like I got to say this, Brother Mo. I feel like I got to emphasize this as we get ready to give invitation. Moses said, I set two ways. You don't get no third option. So I'm just going to take the middle ground. There's no middle ground. He said, I set before you two ways. Blessing, cursing. Moses said, Brother Mo, here's what he said. I love Moses. Moses said, you choose what you want. But don't lie to yourself where you stand or sit today saying you get a third option. There's no third option. Amen. Well, I don't want to depart, and I don't want devotion, and I don't want to defer anything. But I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to that. No, buddy, you don't get a third option. Thank God he's gracious. He'll lead us along, Brother Jack. But I cannot emphasize enough this morning, there's only two ways. And here's what God says today. You choose. God would say to you today, I've made my choice what I want to do. I've made my choice of what I prefer to do for you. I've made my choice about what I have promised to do if you make the right choice. But you get a say-so in this too. Now you can walk out them doors, and I'm telling you, we've shouted and cried, and I'm telling you, I've had, amen, I'm talking about cup running over this morning. But let's settle in for just a moment. You can walk out them doors and get in your car and go back home as empty as you were when you come in. You can get back in your car and leave and go home as mad as you were when you pulled in. You can get back in your car and go back to wherever you're going to go for the rest of your week and be as miserable as you've been. Or Brother Lucas, we can get on the altar and say, I don't want that life anymore. I want my joy to be in God and God alone.
whatever outflow that brings in relationships and jobs and things and where life takes me, that's all just, what they say, the cherry on the top. But my blessedness is in Him. You only get two choices. What do you want? What do you want? Oh, I want the blessings. Okay, it's going to cost you a little something. It's going to cost you a little something. So I don't want to pay the cost. Well, then you're making the choice that you shouldn't make. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for moving in this service, Lord. We've sensed it. We've sensed You, Lord, calling out. We've sensed You today, Lord, piercing hearts, calling men and women and young people to repent, to seek God, to crave God, to desire God. Lord, this morning we say, as the pastor of this church, Lord, we need Your blessings. Help us, oh God. Help us. Have Your will and way. Take us beyond ourselves. Let us find our joy in You, in Jesus' name. While they sing, folk are praying. That's good. That's good. Seeing grandparents
some
play with their grandchildren.
Some days You may lead me through green pastures.
Youngins, families,
when my heart drinks in deep, the water sweet.
Leave here today.
Some days You may lead me through the desert. Even then You're still the reason I can say,
I am blessed
beyond measure. So far beyond what's gained through earthly treasure. Whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, I am blessed, I am blessed. Through the trouble, pain, and disappointments, when it seems that I have nothing left, You will never leave me nor forsake me. I will testify until my dying breath,
I am blessed
beyond measure. So far beyond what's gained through earthly treasure. Whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, I am blessed, I am blessed.
You will honor my reward with You. I want for nothing more than because Your goodness follows me all of my days. I am blessed.
Beyond measure, so far beyond what's gained through earthly treasure.
Whatever comes my way,
still my soul will say, I am blessed, I am blessed. Still my soul will say, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed.
Softly there, Brother Ryan. Fast forward. Joshua brings them into Canaan. He gathers them all there around Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. Brother Kendall, just as Moses had instructed them in Deuteronomy 27. But Lucas, Joshua goes up on the side of them mountains, and God said, I want you to plaster the side of those mountains. I want you to etch on those mountains the blessings and the cursings and the commandments of the Lord that you're to observe and live by. At the base of Mount Gerizim, I want you to build an altar and make a sacrifice to me. You know, God blessed the generation of Joshua and all their conquering of that land. And even when they maybe would begin to wobble on the axle every now and then, they had a plastered wall, a plastered mountainside that reminded them of their commitments to God, that reminded them God wants to bless us.
Amen.
That reminded them of the terror of the curses that could fall upon them. For some time through the book of Joshua, God is blessing them. Then in the days of the judges, I don't know, Brother Mo, I don't know what happened. They let something block the view of that memorial that had been set up about the blessings of God. Somehow they lost sight of how good God had been to them in the land. The characteristic of the days of the judges is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They quit looking to Gerizim.
Right.
I need every member of this church to listen. I mean, God has me speaking with the heavy heart of a pastor. Brother Mo, they quit going by the altar.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
They was just content to show up. We'll tell you where you'll be reminded of God's blessings and the possessing of them. You better have some things plastered on the mountain of your heart.
Amen.
You better make some visits to the altar often.
Yes, sir.
Not just here. I understand not just here at your house, up there on the parkway where the Lord's led us to go sometimes personally to get away from the Lord and be reminded that God's blessings can be possessed. Keep it plastered on your heart. Keep the growth beat down. Amen. Every now and then, take the sword of the Spirit, use it as a machete, and clear out all the brush so you got a clear view of what God has plastered on your heart, that He wants to bless you. Keep a good, worn path to the altar. You'll be able to live your life no matter what comes our way. Is that what y'all sung? No matter what comes my way. I'm not preaching funny charismatic doctrine. I'm preaching to you the Bible. No matter what comes your way.
Amen.
You'll still be able to say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Praise the Lord.
When Israel turned away, see, one generation chose the blessing. Another generation began to drift, and before you know it, they're not too far removed. And you know where Israel's at today? Cursing.
Yes, sir.
It's a fact of the matter. Now, we're still praying for the blessing of Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem. That's what we pray, because that's what God prefers to give to them. So I said, well, God's done with Israel. Oh, no, buddy. God ain't done with Israel. Go read Deuteronomy 30. Read on through. Moses even prophesied, you're going to go away. There'll be a generation rises up and chooses cursing instead of blessing. Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy 30 the return of Israel back to God. He ain't done with them. He's a gracious God. that even if you choose cursing, He still wants to bless you. He'll still call out to you. He'll still send you a commandment. He'll still try to get your attention.
Amen.
Say, what if I'm there, preacher? You better get back to Garrison. Clean the path back out to the altar. Lay yourself down to sacrifice before God. You'll find God is gracious to restore. You don't have to live outside of the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like God's helped us today, Brother Mark. Ain't that a message? Not because I preached it well, just the truth of it's a message, buddy. We get to decide. We get to choose. Please choose wisely. Please choose wisely. Choose what God wants you to choose. 20, when you've been saved 27 years, when you've been saved long as A.L. Hall and Jerry Phillips and some of these older folk got saved many, many years ago, you talk to them, they'll say, I don't long for anything. I don't long for anything. I found my blessing in God.